present. And let's start out by having Mr. Martin from the Pension Commission explain what is in Pension 2. First, I just want to make sure everyone is clear that the bill that the House passed, which is in Senate File 49, is was the recommendation of the Pension Commission. We do have a House floor position. The Senate only passed what we call Pension Bill 1. Pension Bill 2 is still pending on the Senate floor. And looks like we might not have time to take that up, but it's certainly available to be included in the conference committee. We'll have Mr. Martin just briefly talk about what's in Pension Bill 2, just briefly. And the Pension Bill 1 is all technical, non-controversial items. And then we will have a couple amendments to offer, and then we should be done. So, Representative Murphy, did you want to say anything?
Not at this time.
Okay.
But I reserve time for later.
Of course. Mr. Martin.
Members, I'm Larry Martin from the Pension Commission staff. For the members of the conference committee who are members of the Pension Commission, this will be highly repetitious because the differences between the House and the Senate in Senate File 489 reflect the inclusion or the passage by both bodies of what was known as Omnibus Pension Bill 1 and the lack of a final vote in the Senate on Omnibus Bill 2, which was included in the House passage of Senate File 489. So the bulk of what are the significant differences are the contents of what was Omnibus Pension Bill 2. The other things that are different largely relate to technical amendments that were that occurred to Omnibus 1 in the House, but not in the Senate. To really focus on the differences, then the bulk of it is in attachments B through H in the memo that I have for you, dated May 14th. There's an article relating to the State Patrol Plan, a number of benefit changes and contribution increases to help the fiscal solvency of that plan. That's attachment B if you want to see that part of the language. Item C is the PERA plan's salary definition. It's a couple, three pages, a reworking of the definition of covered salary for PERA police and fire, PERA general, and the PERA correctional plan. D has to do with PERA police and fire, and again, benefit changes and contribution increases related to the solvency requirements of that plan. E has to do with the TRA plan, the statewide teachers plan, and a change in the way that early retirement reduction factors will be handled by that plan. F has to do with the first class city teachers. This is the Duluth teacher and St. Paul teacher article. There are some benefit changes, some benefit reductions, some contribution increases, and a state aid increase for both Duluth and St. Paul teachers in that plan. G has to do with the judge's plan, again, financial solvency measures, changes in post-retirement adjustments, a revision of the plan for the benefit of newly retained judges after this coming July, and an increase in member and employer contributions. And the last item, H, is the miscellaneous provision, which really relates to the deduction of union dues and the blind authorization of blind mailings to our retirees on the behalf of labor organizations. Members, I would be happy to answer questions, but those are the major substantive differences between the bills.
Okay, before we consider amendments, is there anyone in the audience who wants to testify or speak before the conference committee? Okay, then we have, first we have, let's do the technical amendment first. We have the 6A amendment.
I just passed out the 8A.
Oh, you did? That's okay. Now pass out the 6A, too. We can do the 8A first. Okay, we're going to do the 8A first. The issue of how much aid Duluth and teachers and St. Paul teachers would receive was negotiated with the governor, and the negotiations resulted in a two-year of aid, the additional aid, but only two-year. The governor is very happy that we did the look with TRA at consolidation of these two plans, and that language was in both versions. It was approved by the commission, I believe, and we approved that. Approved by the commission. So that's what the 8A amendment does, is limits the aid to 2 years. Anything else I need to say, Mr. Martin?
No, members. I think that's...
Then Representative Murphy moves the 8A amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, now we have the 6A amendment. Mr. Martin.
Members, the 6A amendment is requested by the Department of Revenue to resolve a conflict in two of the articles in the bill. One was in Omnibus 1. That was the cleanup of the local police and paid fire laws. This has to do with the redirected amortization, the supplemental amortization aid that Duluth and St. Paul teachers gets. We, in Article 1, in Omnibus 1, that the ending date for that aid was set at when the later of the two plans, Duluth teachers or St. Paul teachers, became fully funded. In Omnibus 2, the same provision of law was amended, but the termination date for this aid was set at the year 2037. This amendment would make them consistent, and it would be the later of the two plans becoming fully funded.
Okay. Any questions on the 6A amendment? Representative Murphy moves the 6A amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay. Mr. Martin, you mentioned the Senate version of the public safety money, but is that in Pension Bill 1 or Pension Bill 2?
Two.
So we need to. We didn't need an amendment to do that, though. We'll just instruct you.
Yes.
Okay, why don't you explain it?
I'm going to turn this over to Mr. Nauman in a second. There was a, as I understand it, the public safety budget bills at the moment did not include the appropriation needed to cover the increase in employer contributions to the state patrol plan. And both the House and the bill that passed and the Omnibus 2 bill in the Senate that's on the floor both handled this problem in a slightly different fashion, no difference in the money, but just a language difference having to do with the out years. So there is a spreadsheet that's been put together by the fiscal staff, and at this point, Mr. Nauman can explain to you the dollar issue.
Mr. Nauman.
So, Madam Chair and members, for the record, Eric Nauman, Senate Fiscal Staff. the spreadsheet put together by Mr. Lundeen just displays the differences between the House and Senate in terms of the fiscal provisions. I think given the timeliness of your work here, I will skip over a lot of the detail except to say that I think the primary difference in the end is going to be that both bills funded the St. Paul Teachers Retirement Fund and the Duluth Teachers Retirement Fund with ongoing money, $7 and $6 million respectively. the difference between the House and Senate was that the Senate began the funding in fiscal 15. The House began in fiscal 14, and both bills, as I said, had tails. I believe the intent of the agreement is for, and the amendment that you've already adopted, is to fund the two teachers' plans for 2 years, fiscal 14 and 15, with no tail. The other issue becomes the public safety appropriation, and it is my understanding that it is appropriate under the confines of the agreement that would be funded with ongoing money. So there would be a general fund effect of $95,000 beginning in fiscal 15, and it would carry forward into the tail. So the spreadsheet for both bodies would be operative, and reflect the final agreement would look just like it does in the tail for the public safety appropriation. So you'd have a general fund of effect, a trunk highway fund effect, and an $8,000 effect in fiscal 15, and moving on into the tail.
Madam Chair, if I Mr. could Martin. Add, the fiscal staff tells me that the Senate language with respect to the tails is preferable to the House language for the tails, and so if you could instruct us to utilize that part of the Senate Omnibus 2.
Rep. Sim Murphy.
Madam Chair, I move that.
All those
accept the Senate language on that point.
All those in favor of the Senate language on public safety state patrol, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Is there anything else? Are there any other amendments or anything else the conference committee needs to discuss? Anybody from the audience? Okay, then, Rep. Sim Murphy.
Madam Chair, I think we should discuss the amount of money that was in the PERA, police and fire, because that changed also, and the volunteer fire money that the tax committee is carrying. I think we should mention that. I believe for the volunteer firefighters across the state of Minnesota, it's at $4.5 million, and for the police and fire PERA portion, it's at $9 million and $9 million with ongoing.
And wasn't there some other State Patrol money?
State Patrol, $1
million. $1 million.
State million. Patrol at $1 million and $1 million.
Okay, and that's in the tax committee. Okay, any other clarification on that? Okay, any final comments by Rep. Sim Murphy and the motion?
Madam Chair, I move that.
Do you want the whole thing?
The House.
The House position and the
amendments.
The spreadsheet as indicated and the amendments on Senate File 489 be approved.
Is that the motion?
And included.
Madam Chair, I just want to clarify a point before you make this final motion, that the Judiciary and Public Safety Bill included the judges' pensions. So I think it's worth clarifying that that's already been taken care of. The House position had that paid for. So insofar as you're moving the House position, which does make sense, it's probably important to instruct Mr. Martin that we're not including the judiciary pieces because those have been already addressed.
Okay. And Madam Chair, that portion passed the House floor yesterday afternoon already, so
maybe
I thank you for that inclusion.
Maybe a formal motion to omit the judiciary money.
Okay, so the motion to approve the conference committee report is stated by Representative Murphy with the omission of the public safety dollars that were approved in a different bill. And that is the motion to be adopted by the conference committee. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The conference committee has Senator Rep. Sim Murphy.
I still
haven't made her comments.
I haven't made my comments yet. but for the record, I think it's important because we spend so much time in Pension Commission talking about where we were going in the future, especially with the teacher funds. And this bill, 489, as it's all-inclusive right now, pension one and pension two, and with the amendments that we made here today. I think it is a bill that creates solvency and wise decisions that will allow the plans to go into the future with more stability and balance. And that is what the people that are, the pensions are included for. That's what the recipients and the people that are working now and contributing more money. Employers and employees are being asked to contribute more money. COLAs have dropped. Benefits are on hold. Some early retirements are gone. To provide a balance and a stability for the future. And I think that's very important. I think in the overall global discussions on how we were going to get out of here this year, when they talked about pensions and the changes that were recommendations that were made, is really an opportunity for us and for the Pension Commission to put the brakes on a little bit in that we were ready to go forth, but now the brakes have been set for us in that one of the portions, one of the very most important provisions that is in here, and you insisted on it, Madam Chair, was that study, actuarial study, to be submitted by January 2014 for how we were going to address teacher pensions in the future for Duluth, for St. Paul, for TRA, which are the teachers of all districts of the state of Minnesota, or except for Duluth and St. Paul. and the ramifications of the actuarial studies for the future and where we're going to go. And we were ready to ask for funds, not because the Duluth and St. Paul teachers' funds had any mismanagement whatsoever. They did not. However, they needed help and assistance. And that is exactly what this bill gives them, help and assistance for this two-year period. Waiting on the report for January 2014, when we can all sit down, the governor and the Pension Commission and all the representatives can sit down and talk and decide what's going to happen. And I think that's an opportunity that we should grasp and smile about, and we should say thank you for giving us the assistance to go forward. And I understand the returns on our investments for this last 6 months have been pretty good. And so that money will start earning right now and put more stability into our plans and teacher funds all the way across the state. And I think that's a good thing. And that makes a strong bill even stronger. And so we should go forth with a smile on our face and hope in our hearts.
Thank you for those lovely comments, Representative Murphy. I guess I can't take all the credit for the merger language. It was really the governor who felt very strongly about that. And I'm very appreciative of the Duluth and St. Paul teachers' plans for being open to the idea of working with NTRA. Of being open with working out a potential merger plan. And I think our goal is that we think our teachers need to be, all our teachers in the state need to be adequately and fairly compensated and be able to rely on a pension, as do we want our other public employees, police and fire and state patrol, as was promised them by the state. And if we don't stabilize the funds, that pension may not be there for them. So it's important that we have a shared sacrifice bill where everyone has to pay a little bit more and give up a little bit in order to keep the fund stable. And we're hopeful that the economy is doing well and that if we do have a merger in the future, that these two funds can come into